And we love deviousness in the school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's highly prized.
I bet.
How have you been after a vacation and all?
Well, I've been good. Just overwhelmed with work. I had to take a bunch of work home last weekend, and I took a bunch of work home this weekend, and
at least you have work.
Yeah, I'm certainly glad of that.
Yeah, really.
I would be in deep trouble if I didn't.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, I have to tell you that years ago I was a cabinet maker.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you that I loved it. I was very good, but I was also very precise and very slow.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time it seemed like endless. I mean, it seemed, looking at the rest of my life, the idea of doing that kind of work for the rest of my life,
mm-hmm.
it just seemed like being in a prison.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, even though when I went to acupuncture school in Boston, I still actually did cabinet making, to sort of support myself,
mm-hmm.
working for some of the big Boston fine craftspeople.
Oh.
And, but then eventually it ended.
Mm-hmm.
And I got into healing, and then I did that for, well, of course, it's been some 25 years, but then there came a time when I thought, gosh, I don't want to do this for a living anymore. But I had there was no way that I knew how to do otherwise or how that would come about. But just holding that idea and so forth, now I've put that to bed.
Yeah.
And the school and my algae business is the main things that I do,
Mm-hmm.
So I tell you that so that you don't get to thinking that anything in your life is necessarily has to be.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, the major ingredient is to have a vision and hold it.
Okay.
There is no other ingredient that I know of. I mean, there's a lot of things that people do, but that is not what makes it happen. And in your studies, eventually that will become very, very clear to you.
Hmm. Well, I hope so.
No question. So is anybody
else? Hello, everybody.
Hi, Dan.
There's Dan.
There's Dan that we thought Randy was Dan, and then... And Magnus? No, Magnus. Wrestling is good. Wrestling. Jennifer? No, Jennifer. Well, Shuckies, I just don't know. I'm not going to worry. I'm going to light my candle, and we're going to go on, because as long as the person that the reading is about is here, I feel happy. So you like that reading, Dan?
Yes, I did, very much.
Wonder why. Oh, just so that you know, I love that you sent me readings, but one of the readings you did not give me the before.
I've corrected that, and I've sent that to you.
The ahead.
Yeah, yes, I emailed.
You've corrected that?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Alan, I was going to send you some this week, and I took them to work, and... to use the fax, the fax at work, and I got so busy with work, I spaced them out and left them at work.
Well, fax, what she should fax them to your computer, right?
Yeah.
That's the number he has anyway. Yeah, go ahead and fax him when you can, Randy.
Okay.
No worries.
And are we, now, are we doing the 12 card yet, or?
Yeah, we're starting that today.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be on it for 2 weeks.
Good.
Yeah, because it's very, very important. You all ready to bless?
Ready.
Mm-hmm.
Child of wonder.
Child of wonder.
Child of flame.
Child of flame.
Nourish our
spirit.
And protect our aim. Do I hear a third voice?
Yeah, hi, it's Helen.
Hi, Helen.
Hi.
So, well, we've had a couple of weeks in seeing.
In vision?
Well, you know, I'm confused. In my book, it says in seeing, but did we change it to walking in my vision?
That's what we said in class.
Did we?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Walking in my vision.
Okay. Well, we'll go with that because we did in seeing, of course. And then I'll have to come up with something else for this week, won't I? Well, because in my notes it says walking in my vision goes with the 12 card.
Well, maybe, you know, because you changed the format, I think. Didn't you say we were spending longer on Tarot?
Well, we were spending 2 weeks each on Celtic Cross and 12 card. But that's right, I'll figure it out. So, Randy, what was it like walking in my vision?
Well, it made me question what my vision was. And sometimes hold on a second. Oh, I think I was doing the wrong one.
What were you doing?
I think I was walking my wisdom.
that's a good one.
Yeah, it does say vision. I thought it said wisdom, so I'm doing wisdom this week.
Yeah, well, walking in my vision is very, very important for you.
Mm-hmm.
But what did you find out about walking in my wisdom?
Well, I found out that, you know, a lot of my wisdom is based on my own experiences. And
it all is.
Yeah.
It is nothing else.
And it's basically just the lessons I've learned so far in life.
That is correct. If you think about it, in my present life, everything that I experience creates my knowledge and my wisdom, or the difference between knowledge and wisdom is how you are able to use it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how you're able to put it together is when it becomes wisdom. And then everything from this lifetime back comes through the judgment card.
Mm.
My spiritual wisdom. My past spiritual experience. So you see, what that tells us is that everything that we can count on is what we have observed and experienced. And then, now this is, listen to this carefully, that does not make a person functionally literate. What makes us functionally literate is how we're able to use that knowledge. And that's the foundation of everything we study in the school. Even when it goes on up into stuff you all can't even imagine.
I didn't hear the first part of your sentence, Alan. Even when
it goes on up into courses that are beyond what you could even comprehend at this point.
Oh, okay.
But that's still the basis of it.
And that knowledge is... I miss that part. The knowledge is our spiritual wisdom that's based.
No.
No.
Our knowledge is our experience and our observations.
Oh, okay.
Our wisdom is the ability to use that.
Yes. Okay.
or maybe not use it?
No.
Is it? No, I mean, what if you feel like you have an observation or an experience that might not be your truth, and so...
Well, you're still using it.
All right.
How you use it. See, take it right back to the discussion we had in Class 1 of Basic Magic of this course. What is black magic and white magic? There is no such thing. There is only magic. How you use it is how you use it.
Okay, yeah, I see.
See, one of the things we're doing at this point up is we're decoding beliefs, okay? We are filled with all these different beliefs from our experience and so forth, but it's the mind's interpretation of the experience or other people's beliefs just simply handed to us. And they create all these different perspectives in us. And these studies eliminate that one after another. The whole idea is to eliminate all of that. It's none of it's useful. It's all conjecture. So we continually go back to only what we experience and observe. Which, technically speaking, in most circles of modern psychology would be considered intentional psychosis. Because the basis of society is belief. And we're saying that it will not be our basis or our foundation because it's a false foundation. So, Randy, I want you to do Walking in My Vision.
All right. Definitely do that.
Yeah. And you really want to understand what a vision is. You really want to get clear about that. And then what is it to walk in it? So, Dan, how about you?
Well, I was still walking and seeing this week.
Okay, so I wasn't clear about it.
I'll walk with Randy and Vision next week.
Yeah, that's fine. We can all do it again. It's a powerful one. So what in seeing? What can you tell us about in seeing? Were you walking in seeing or in seeing?
Walking.
Okay, well, that was different from before because you were doing in seeing. So what then, what was the difference between in seeing and walking in seeing?
Probably the most powerful thing is that that kind of overshadows everything else is that I ask for some help. And I ask for different things from different directions. And it worked.
Okay. Now, what do you feel was the relationship between that and walking and seeing?
I think that probably on some level I saw that, the success of what I asked for. So, like it was not a... It was a feeling, but it was also somewhat of a vision, maybe.
Okay.
That it was visualized that.
Okay. Have you ever, you probably not had this experience, but there's a technique they use in NLP to retrain a person's reflexes where... The person in charge will take you by the hand.
And use an anchor?
I'm sorry?
And use an anchor?
No.
Or create an anchor?
No.
Okay.
They take you by the hand And they say, okay, I'm going to show you how to respond immediately. And they say, go. And they just, they begin walking really fast. And if you don't, you fall down. They put their total attention forward and they move fast.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's what walking and seeing does. It puts it all in motion.
Well, there was a lot of motion this week.
Good.
A lot of forward motion. Good motion.
Well, it would be forward motion. Yeah, there's a lot of things I could tell you about the eyes that would be unbelievable to you guys. But the eyes actually are an access to the whole holographic universe when used properly. So, you're on to something there. Helen, how about, which one did you do?
I did vision.
Walking in my vision.
Walking in my vision, yeah. It was exciting. At first, I didn't link what was happening to the walking in my vision, but then it became very apparent. What was happening was some incident would happen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was responding in my fairly typical way, but what was different in the beginning was that I would see a vision in my mind's eye of myself responding differently.
Okay.
And I felt a pull towards the different response.
Exactly.
And like almost a union with it.
Exactly.
And that was very exciting. It just felt very clear that there could be different ways to respond to it. And it was almost a little bit, when it first started happening, like, you know, like I was watching a play or something where the same thing occurred to someone else and they had a totally different response than I had, but I could see myself having the same response, sort of merging with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's exactly what you were. That's exactly what happened.
Oh, good.
You were in a play.
Yeah.
We are always in a play.
Play.
We
yeah.
We don't know that. We think it's all real.
Yeah. Yeah, and it wasn't like I was becoming. It wasn't, well, then I think this is what led into it. Two nights ago, it was in the sense that it was somebody else in the play. It was like it was me,
mm-hmm.
but not me.
Mm-hmm.
But so that led into a couple of nights ago, this kind of what if question in my mind, like, what if I really, really understood or could see in terms of how I live, that we really are all one, so that it isn't even like somebody else is responding differently. It's that response is in me as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But it's that's not a new concept to me, but I experienced it much more closely to being that's how it is.
Have you ever heard vision creates reality?
Yeah. Well, not quite like that, but yeah.
Well, that's the exactness of it.
Mm-hmm. It was very exciting to get these images of having a different response and feeling it in my system.
Right, and you see if you keep carry that forward, if you keep going with that, you can create any condition or effect in your life by that same formula. It's no
uh-huh.
In fact, when we study the 12th card, which is what we call cause and effect chain to row, because all cause starts in the inner world and proceeds to the outer, then this is the tool we use to sort of analyze or plot how we would be able to move forward in that vision.
Uh-huh.
It's more than just a predictive technique, particularly the way we want to learn to use it. It is a way of saying, okay, I know I want to get from this point where I am to that distant point, if it be distant, that vision over there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really know in my experience how to do that, which is a good thing, because even if you did or thought you did, it would not necessarily be accurate in terms of present time cause and effect. And so then when we look at the readings today, what we'll see is that it's not so, the emphasis does not need to be on sort of the interpretive meaning of it per se in terms of events, but it can much more readily be, what am I doing inside myself to cause this effect rather than that effect? Because
mm-hmm.
that's the actuality of it. You see, the outer events are only a match to my inner world, my inner condition. The level of my being affects the level of my life. So it gives us an actual tool for you who will learn how to use it to constantly correct our errors of perception. So Magnus, are you with us?
Did Magnus say that he was going to miss class today?
I don't remember. Does anybody remember that?
I think he said that.
Oh, really? Oh, thanks. I didn't remember that. Jennifer, did she say she was in this?
I don't remember that.
I'm here.
Oh.
So, Jennifer, which exit ritual did you do?
I did walking in my vision.
And what was that like for you?
It was tremendous. I had a lot of blockage, and a lot of it had surfaced. Carrying around anger and rage. It made sore spots in my body and stuff, and I think they've released.
Very possibly so.
It was anger and rage over things that, well, I had this wonderful job, and they sent a computer person to format my thesis. They paid me well. They treated me well. And it moved, and I couldn't move with it. It gave me great severance. I mean, why would I have any anger and rage over something like that? But that one I specifically identified and felt it leave.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are taught to do that, Jennifer.
Yeah. I can see that, and that's become apparent with walking in my vision.
Right. So walking in my vision is a way to start to correct the way I see the world.
Yes. Yeah.
Cool. Well, you all did really well with this. Whatever you did well with. So I think we'll go ahead with walking in my vision again, if that's all right with you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Me.
So Randy, you're going to send me readings. Dan has sent me readings. Jennifer, do you have readings for me?
I did quite a few, but they seem to make sense.
Oh, okay, so you don't feel you need help with them?
Not particularly.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. I'm not trying to beat a dead horse.
I've already seen some of the near future come on some of them.
Oh, cool. Yeah, well, that does happen. And, you know, as we study the tarot more and get more proficient, our reach increases, which is really interesting. In other words, it always was a question for me, well, how big is the present? Really hard to say. It can be a day or a week. And then how big is the near future? Does it start tomorrow or a week from tomorrow? And how long does it go in the future? Well, you have to, that's the way Jennifer said, you have to watch to see. And that begins to show you your reach, and then you watch over time, your reach will increase. And it isn't important to have a huge reach anyway, because if you go too far into the future, all probability lines are the same, and you can't, nothing is interpretable anyway. And that's not important for what we do anyway, because it's all based on a small change in the present creates a larger change in the future. And Helen, have you done any readings?
No.
Okay.
Also, I wanted to let the class know that I'm going to be leaving the program. I have one more class after this one. And I just wanted to tell you guys that I'm going to miss you, all of you.
I'm sure you will. Well, thanks for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Anybody wish to comment?
Well, Helen, I hope we still stay in contact after the class.
Oh, yeah.
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 Well, friendships don't need to end, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, we actually had just met each other right before class started.
Right. I didn't know.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's the chat, too, you know.
Right. And, yeah, I feel like I have just learned so much. I'm very, very thankful.
Yeah, but you don't have to quit just because you planned on it.
I know.
It might change, and you'll keep going.
Right. Well, if it changes, I'll say something next week. But I wanted to bring it up with all of you because
Oh, that's very fair.
Yeah. So thank you, Jennifer.
So Helen, what would you say? I know when we started, you had sort of an idea that shamanism was more your interest,
mm-hmm.
and that magic to you seemed perhaps not as essential. But based on what you studied, how would you speak of that? What are your impressions?
Of magic?
Just the way the course is laid out and so forth and so on and whatever.
Yeah. I really can appreciate the magic on a couple of different levels. One is the foundational aspect of it. I feel the way you've set it up that it's sort of like building blocks and pieces kind of connecting. And I think for me personally, the biggest impact it's had is especially with the elements. I think I felt that the strongest of kind of seeing or experiencing them differently.
Seeing the world in those terms.
Yes.
That's a huge shift. That's the first shift we actually go through.
Yeah, and it's very enriching. The part where, for whatever my makeup, as I am today, and I'm not holding myself to be static in any way, what I don't seem to respond to as much, and I don't know why, is using the tools.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't call to me, at least at this point, as much as I can't quite explain it. I'm not the tarot so much.
No, I know. I know what you're talking about. Do you find you have some aversion?
A little bit. little bit. Aversion might be slightly too strong. I'm there's a child quality that comes up in me, and this isn't at all aversion, but it's there's something about it that feels a little bit out of sync. It's as if I approach it from a child's place, like I keep seeing it sort of as Harry Potter, which I enjoy very much, but I don't see me doing that somehow. I see myself more as an observer with that aspect of the work than as a participant of it.
Yeah, this is stuff from a past life.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
In what way?
You're just operating from things that you've got into your belief system in a past life.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. But the other piece that has grown in some sense about magic is that I've always said everything is magic. You know, I mean, you know that you plant a seed and something grows from it.
Of course.
And that's developed more. There's just something about my relationship to the tools that's...
Yeah, I've run into that before with people.
Uh-huh.
It's not uncommon. This is actually the only course we use tools to any great degree. I think when we learn to consecrate, we use them, but for some people, they're very valuable. For other people, maybe not so much. And you're right. Everything is... We live in a magical universe, okay?
Yeah.
The problem is that if you're going to study magic and learn magic, you have to learn how to make constants out of variables. If you just say everything is magical and I'm just going to be a magical person, it just goes all off into dream time.
Right. Yes, there is an appreciation of concretizing it and the emphasis that if you do X and Y Z results.
Right, exactly. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
And it's not so much because we want that result, even though that's what you all think. It is to challenge the part of us that disbelieves.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, enough said on that.
I just wonder, it's stabilizing.
Well, yeah. Well, hopefully so.
Yeah.
So let's talk about 12 card, because there's a lot we need to learn here. It is the foundation of everything we use from here on in terms of spell work and so forth, because it's how we're able to interpret cause and effect in situations and so forth. And there are also some changes that I may need to have to make in your notes, so do follow along and I will point them out if I found some errors. But they may have already been corrected, I don't know. So this is our second layout in terms of the first one being the Celtic Cross. And then we're going to learn to manipulate this layout in many, many ways. Blow it up infinitely, regress it, progress it, and so forth. You can actually regress a situational reading back into another lifetime and keep going. You can go track back lifetime after lifetime with the tarot. So unlike the Celtic Cross, which is a personality profile, the 12 card is useful for people, situations, businesses, issues of any kind, political, financial, governmental, relationships, family stuff, any number of people and so forth. And of course, it's a moving picture in time, unlike the Celtic Cross, which is more of a snapshot. So it does allow us to track cause and effect chains, and that will be our major use of it. And we'll also learn, I think, actually two classes from now, how to set up multiple signifiers. Up till now, you all have learned how to use one signifier at a time. But there are some situations which are complex enough where you can use a number of signifiers tied together. And you have here in your notes possible situations and signifiers. And there's no point in my reading over those. You all can do that. But they're very, very important to know and to refer to. Then, of course, you can always make signifiers, too. Business cards, stationery heads, logos. Or you can sit down and draw out a signifier if you need to. Or you can cut it out of a magazine or whatever. As long as you put it on your plate and you key it, it'll work. Do note that when it talks about marriage being either Ten of Cups, Ten of Discs, it's still in the minor arcana because marriage is a world-level contract. And there's also that note about if you want to pick a signifier for a city or a business or any enterprise that you don't know the suit that might apply, just look at the nature of the enterprise and take your best shot in terms of suit.
Can you give us an example?
You give me an example. Pick something you'd like to look at.
I don't know. Let's see.
Not that difficult. Just what's something you'd like to study? Well,
Biodynamic agriculture.
Okay. What do you think the suit would be?
Well, it's farming from a spiritual aspect.
So what's the suit?
Would it be air?
I don't think so, Jennifer.
Come Earth?
On. Earth. It's Earth.
Because something's growing out of the Earth?
Because it's an Earth industry.
Okay.
Okay. So now how would you step that up to the spiritual level?
Anybody?
Go ahead. I heard you say something.
Air?
No. Earth.
It'd be the page.
No.
Page of disc.
No. Ace of disc. That's the top of the suit.
But isn't the page acquainted with growth or newness?
Yeah, but she didn't say she wanted to know the new aspects of it.
No, I meant newness in terms of, seed growing newness.
That has nothing to do with it. It is simply a type of agricultural industry that is based on, according to what she told us, I don't know a whole lot about it, but based on spiritual principles. Is that right, Jennifer?
Yes.
That's the Ace of Discs.
If it's the whole industry, we take the Ace.
No.
Or the whole...
No, the highest level of the industry.
Oh, okay.
And then, of course, once you get it, okay, so I'm going to use the Ace of Discs. Now you write in your Book of Shadows exactly what it is relating to. I want to know what is going on, or I don't even say I want to know. What is going on in the, what did you call it?
Biodynamic.
Oh, biodynamic agriculture industry, okay? That ties the reading to that. And then when you put the Ace of Discs on your plate and you're keying it, you want to make sure that you can see some relationship between that industry and that card, okay? That's just how it works. Okay, So the part I want you to take out of your notes, do you all have at the end of that section, section 3, when you place the signifier upright, the reading will tell you that all the conditions that favor it?
Yeah.
And then it goes on to say about when you reverse the signifier, just black that all out. That is not true. We don't, at this level, work with reverse signifiers. It will drive you nuts. Later on, you'll learn how to selectively, but I don't want you all being tempted to do that at this level because you will not learn how to read the tarot that way. It will confuse you. Okay, so during a 12-card reading, before starting your reading, record the date, time, signifier, and question. This is what we're talking about. The question you want the reading to answer in your Book of Shadows. Keep it simple and direct. Don't get complicated. This helps to set up your intention for the reading. Okay, and then you see on the next page what the reading looks like. And then the process is exactly the same. So I'm not going to read through all of that, except item 6 has an error because it says place the signifier card upright on your plate, look at the card intently, again, holding the subject of the reading in mind until the card windows. That is not correct. The card does not window. We don't want it to window. You've already windowed it. It's until you sense a connection to the subject in mind. Or see some aspect of the subject in the card. Is that clear to you all?
Yeah.
Everybody got that? Anybody need it repeated? Good. Okay. So then, of course, put the signifier in the reading, light your candles, and so forth. And then it's just the same procedure as the Celtic cross. It really is. You go right on down to either handing the deck to the person across from you who's, and having them shuffle and lay in three piles, remembering we made this correction before with the left hand, which is not the heart hand, it's the head hand. They lay it down with the head hand, and you pick it up with your heart hand, which is your right hand, and so forth. And then when you deal the cards, you deal them in the order as in the picture, starting at the far left with the pass line, and going 1, 2, 3, 4 across to the right, then go up to the left with the present line, 5, 6, 7, 8, go up to the left with the future line, 9, 10, 11, 12. And then your second card is exactly in the same order, and you got your reading. And then record it. And now the fun begins. Because the method of interpreting is totally different. We're always tempted to look at these readings and start to say, oh, this means and this means, and I'll tell you what, you haven't a clue yet. There is something that you have to do first. It's called plot out the flow lines. I'm going to teach you how to do this, and I'll tell you, every class I've ever taught, somebody gets it wrong. I'm going to ask you guys to get it right from the very first. So I want you to listen with all the intention you can muster. Because the rules are really very simple. They're in your book. I'm going to tell them to you in my words. The first rule is you can never flow from a reverse base card to an upright base card. Never will happen.
Can you repeat that, Alan?
No. You can never flow from an upright base card to a reverse base card, or from a reverse base card to an upright base card.
Okay.
I mean, doesn't that make a lot of sense? How can a flow line of cause and effect jump from a negative line to a positive line? It can't. These flow lines are marking out how the cause and effect chains occur. So they go from the past to the present to the future by virtue of the base card first. That's the first principle. If the base card is upright, it can flow to any other upright base card, except there are limiters on this that we're going to talk about. If the base card is reverse, it can flow to any other reverse base card, given certain limiters, but never can it violate that. And in every class I've had, somebody has tried to draw an upright base card to a reverse base card. It's just absolute mischief. You all got that?
Yes.
Okay. Some of you may be on mute, so I'm assuming that you don't respond, but you do have it. Okay. But if there are questions about this, I want you all to ask me right now. Okay. Now, how do you know where to flow? You can flow laterally in any line. You can go from position 1 to position 4. The actual positions mean nothing. Doesn't matter where in that line the cards are, they are just there. They're in the past line. So you can flow laterally, either way, across the past line. And you can flow up. You can never flow down. You can't go from the future to the present to the past. It just don't work that way. You can skip a line. You can flow from the past line to the future line. No problem. You may have a condition that starts in the present and goes to the future. Or a flow. You may have a flow that starts in the past, goes to the present, and stops. No problem. Okay. How do you know how to flow? First, you make sure you're doing reverse cards, and upright to upright base cards. Okay. The first rule is by suit. Base card to base card. Upright swords flow to upright swords. Upright wands to upright wands. Upright cups to upright cups. Upright discs to upright discs. Reverse wands to reverse wands, and so forth. I don't think I have to go through the whole litany. That's your first rule of thumb. But that won't always happen. So you can also go from suit to suit, either second card to base or base to second. So in other words, if you have in the past line a two of swords, second card two of wands, and in the present line you have a five of wands, second card three of cups, you can do it. You can go there. It will go there. Not just you can.
Can you say that again, face the butt and not the butt?
Well, look at your suits. You can, if your base cards don't match in suit, but your second card matches your base card or your second card, you can flow that way. It's always by like suit.
So you need to match the suit, and it doesn't, the base or second?
No, it doesn't really.
Okay.
It's a stronger match if it's, see, because sometimes you're going to have a choice, Jennifer. You're going to have, in the past line, you're going to have the two of swords, and his second card by the three of wands. In the present line, you may have, how can I do this? I guess it wouldn't really matter, would it? Well, if you had a sword up there that was also upright, that definitely would be a flow. Even if you say, okay, yeah, but I've got over here, I've got the five of wands, and it's second card by the ten of swords. But that's not a primary flow. So I would say the flow would go sword to sword base card before it would go sword second card wand to base card wand or something like that. You all understanding this?
Second cards can't be reversed, right?
They are never reversed.
Okay, just how base cards are.
How could they be reversed? They're on their side.
Well, yeah, but it seems like sometimes they go one way and sometimes the other.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
That makes no difference. They are not up and down cards. They are on their side. They are a second card, and that's always the principle. It's neither positive or negative. It is the principle of the card.
Alan, I understand what you're saying, but what I see is that you could have way too many choices here. And how to, you know, how to...
You won't have too many choices.
Okay.
If you start simply by what I said, the highest priority is major arcana base card to major arcana base card. I didn't say that, but that is so.
Okay.
Whether reverse or upright. The next priority down would be any suit card, like suit card, base card to base card, either reverse or upright. The next probability down would be second card, same suit, to base card, same suit, obviously being either reverse or upright in both cases. Or, equally, you know, base card, same suit, going up to a second card, same suit. It doesn't matter which way that arrangement occurs. That's even Steven.
But do you only have one flow line, or you pick one flow line, even though there could be two flow lines, or three?
In your reading, there are four flow lines.
That's what I'm looking at.
You plot out the flow lines, as many of them as there are. Because that's what you got to do. You can't be careful if you do that. You don't know what it's saying until you do that. That's the first thing you do. And, of course, you can go from a major arcana base card to a major arcana second card, as long as the directions, reverse or upright, match. The last principle is a connection only by meaning. But that happens. It may not be same suit or anything else. You can never go upright to reverse, but we learned that there are certain cards that have actual connections, such as the Fool and the Two of Discs, the Emperor and any Earth type condition, because the Emperor speaks of, you know, our traditional Earth-type arrangements and so forth, or the Devil card is often about our, because it is about how we're honoring our spiritual contracts in the world, it also has an Earth connotation. So a lot of times you'll have it by meaning, but not necessarily by suit. In your notes, it also says if you cannot use any of the above rules to create a flow line, the lowest priority would be to connect the reverse base cards to the reverse base cards or the upright base cards to the upright base cards. But I'll tell you what, there may not be an actual connection, so I wouldn't do that, unless it's by meaning. See, there are not that many rules, guys. Learn them now.
So if there wasn't any connections, is it a...
different line.
Everything could possibly go one way, or... you know, like on the Celtic one, you said if they're all reversed, you wait a while and then do it.
That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Oh. Celtic cross readings have no flow lines.
So you're always going to have a flow. You just have to figure it out.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You will always have one, two, three, or four flow lines. You'll never have one flow line. Sorry about that. You'll have generally three at the least, and as many as four or five. And you want to separate those out because they give you different stories. Okay, so now there's some notes that help in terms of guidelines, general guidelines for interpreting cards and flow lines. Major arcana cards in the past line indicate a time further in the past than minor arcana cards and usually indicate conditions from a past life, not past line. Change that word, it's life. So when you have in the past line major arcana base cards or double major arcana cards, i.e. base and second card, those generally go back into other lifetimes. And so that would begin to give you an idea of the adjustment of the path line, in that just because you've got a path line, it does not mean it's all at the same level of the past. One pair of cards may go back 100 years, and the next pair of cards may be 2 weeks ago. We can't accurately yet, we will be able to tell when it was, but we can tell the relative relationship. So when you're doing these flow lines, of course you want to check the context and tell and see if it tells a story that makes sense. It will. And of course the upright flow lines indicate the factors that favor or that are helpful to the topic in question. And the reverse flow lines indicate challenges, barriers, or problems that may be encountered.
Reverse flow lines, is that reverse card flow lines? Or
yeah, right, exactly. I'm going to walk you all through this whole thing. I'm going to show you how it works. Don't get antsy.
Okay.
It's easier than you think. When interpreting pairs of cards, base card is always the general situation. We talked about this before. The second card is always the particular manifestation or the window or the specific details or refinement of the situation. For instance, Ten of Discs reverse, Five of Wands indicates that a person is prevented from having it all by conflicting ideas and beliefs, either her own or those of other people around her. So just get used to that. That's how it works. Remember that the future is not set. It is the result of the conditions in the past and the present if all things remain the same. And the law of Tarot says that a small change in the present creates a larger change in the future. So you're sailing out the door and you're late to work and you know you've got to go lickety-split and you're all anxious and you remember that you want to do your exit ritual, but you say, oh no, I'm too busy. Stop and do it. You may save your life. Because that's a small change in the present. court cards, page, knight, queen, or king, may indicate a person affecting or creating a situation or being affected by the situation when it is a base card, or a person being, oh, well, this defines it better, or a person being affected by something when it is a second card. Court cards may also indicate a principle, so it can be both a person or a principle simultaneously in some cases. So if the card looks like a person, the card will look more lifelike and real. If the card indicates a principle, it will look generally flat and generic. Won't have much dimension to it. And of course, the final thing, to do a good reading, you want to create stories of the in the different flow lines and so forth. And then, you know, it's like storytelling. Questions on any of this?
Not now.
Okay. Well, I just thank you all for being so attentive. This is very important. Okay, let's look at Dan's reading. I hope everybody has it. Anybody doesn't have it? Oh, good. Okay, I'm going to show you the flow line. So, the way I do it, by the way, is I use different colored pencils. Pens. Just helps. Okay, start down in the pass line, position number one, with the Ace of Discs, Four of Cups. Everybody with me?
Yeah. By the way, Alan, I don't have it. I'm just looking through the ones I printed out. I don't think I got it.
It was sent. Anybody else get it? Dan, I know Dan got it.
It came as a second attachment. There was an original first one that had about four on it, and then there was a second sending that had two on it.
Oh, okay. Maybe somehow I missed it. That's okay. I'll follow.
Okay, cool. Well, I'll call out the cards.
Okay, thanks.
So this is Ace of Discs, second card, Four of Cups. And the first thing it does is go right next door to the Emperor, second card, Priestess. Now, why? Somebody tell me why.
That Emperor and Earth connection.
Thank you. Very good. You all see it? Is it clear to everybody? Is it unclear to anybody?
Got it.
Okay, cool. Randy, you see it?
Oh, yes.
All right. Okay, the second flow line is from same card, Ace of Discs, right on up to the future line, Queen of Swords, King of Discs. Now, why? Dan, why?
I don't know.
You've got to know. This is not I don't know. It's not an option in the source.
Would you be using the same color pencil?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Tell me what you see there. What are the suits involved? Are the base cards upright? Dan?
Yes, they're upright.
Okay, so we can go there, right? Nothing to prohibit it.
Yeah.
Is there any commonality of suits?
The King of Swords and Queen of Swords.
I'm sorry? I don't know what you're looking at.
Ace of Discs and King of Discs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You see that, Dan?
Yes, okay.
So does that not match?
Yes.
It matches by base card suit to second card suit.
It's stronger because it's a king?
No.
And say it would be a nine of discs?
No.
No? Okay.
Okay. Do The third flow line is from the Emperor Priestess in the past line up to that same pair. Of the Queen of Swords, King of Discs. That is by virtue of what we already pointed out, Earth inference of the Emperor to the King of Discs, which is Earth.
Okay.
The fourth flow line is from the Two of Swords in the present line, second card, King of Swords, up to the Queen of Swords, King of Discs. By virtue of the swords.
Okay.
In this case, both are swords. The face and the second. So that's a nice match to the King of Swords, Queen of Swords. Now, there's one other possible flow line. I put it in a dash line because it can only be seen by meaning in it or inference, and it may or may not be so. I tend to think it is. That would be from the Emperor, second card, Priestess, above, directly above it, to the Two of Swords, King of Swords. There's no commonality of suit. There's no commonality of, major arcana, minor arcana, or similarity of cards. But think about this. If in the past his ability to work in the system successfully utilizing magical principles, would that not influence his making positive choices about being a strong person in control of his actions and so forth?
Sure.
So that's where you go completely by meaning. Anybody not see that?
Well, I don't have my meanings of all my cards out there, but...
Well, I gave you the meanings. I just said them.
Yeah, but I understand the Emperor, and you're saying his use of magic to influence...
He's creating in the world of tradition, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Positively using man's world, man's law, man's traditions, man's government, all that stuff, through his knowledge of magic. And then we're saying in the present, would that not influence him making Two of Swords positive choices of action? In regards to his being an empowered, mature person.
Yeah, I see.
Okay. I mean, you could say, if you want to, you could say that the Two of Swords, King of Swords, began in the present, didn't come from the past, specifically. But when you think about it, but what would have made him do that? It's his prior experience that would make him do that. So that's what I'm talking about.
I see, yeah.
Okay, now, the only negative or reverse flow line in this reading, since there are only two reverse cards, in the present line, we have a lover's reverse, second card, Ace of Cups. In the future line, we have an Eight of Wands reverse, second card, Ace of Wands. And of course you say, well, wait a minute. There's no matching suit there. We have matching aces as second cards. That could be useful. But we don't really have a matching suit. So then we ask ourselves, if we have a lover's reverse in present time, i.e., the person is not completely balanced inside in terms of their view of yin and yang or male and female stuff or their own internal balance or whatever, and that is affecting their emotions, I would contend that that might limit their ability to see new data incoming in the future having to do with their whole body of knowledge, because I think they would have blinders on. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So again, that's by meaning, not really by any other rule of flow. Other than, like I say, I couldn't help but notice there was a second card ace and a second card ace, and both base cards were reversed and so forth. Okay. So now we've covered two full lines. Okay. Let's move to the next set. In the past line, position 3, five of cups, second card, Hierophant. Well, it's a natural because in the present line, we've got a six of cups, second card, justice. So it flows up there. Now, I want to ask everybody, why couldn't it flow to the seven of cups, second card, queen of cups instead, which is right next door? It's real obvious if you look. Randy?
Because the Hierophant card, I think it's meaning that...
You're not looking.
No.
You're not looking. You're guessing. This is so obvious, it's painful. Okay, we've got two base cards to consider. They're both cups, right? One is the seven of cups, one is the six of cups. What else is common here in one case and not the other? Open your eyes, guys. It's not that difficult. It's right there in front of you.
Both the five and the six are covered by major arcana.
That's it. Not covered by. They're second carded.
Yeah.
Good for you. Don't you see that that would make that connection?
I see.
Okay.
We've got second cards that are both major arcana. That ties it. So that flow line goes from the five of cups up to the six of cups and then over to the seven of cups. Now you get a double flow. You get a flow line from the seven of cups up to the sun because of the second card, page of cups, and because major arcana base from second, well, not in that one case, but then also from the six of cups, justice, up to the sun, second card, page of cups. Get a double flow there. See, and this helps you to interpret the meaning. The last flow line, the fourth one, simply goes from the last base, last pair in the past line, which is the King of Wands, death, right on up, to the three of wands in the future line, seven of swords.
to the what was the second, the King of Wands and Death to where?
No, it's okay. It's the King of Wands, second card Death.
Mm-hmm.
Up to the Three of Wands.
Seven Swords.
Right, exactly. Once you've done that, interpretation becomes really easy. Without doing that, interpretation is absurd. Because you're just all over the map. But this confines these cause and effect chains. So, for instance, you can say, okay, so we've got the King of Wands, Death, going up to the Three of Wands, Seven of Swords. So, in the past line, if the King of Wands says that Dan has used his knowledge, or wisdom, if you want, well, because if we say use of knowledge is what wisdom is, well then why don't we call it wisdom? If he's used his wisdom well in terms of dealing with changes that occur in his life, death, then it will help him to solidify his path in terms of his studies and his increase of his knowledge, and through that he will stabilize or gain a lot of force in his life. You all can accept that?
I accept it and I like it.
Well, you did it. You're doing it. So that takes care of that flow line. If we go over to the next one back, the Five of Cups, second card, Hierophant, that goes up to the Six of Cups, second card, Justice, we can say, okay, so his ability to learn from his past mistakes, you could even say, or from his past griefs and losses, or his growth in regards to his past griefs and losses through how he mediates in the world, how he communicates, through issues of fairness in the world, connects him in the present time to Six of Cups, which is like a real deep sense of self-appreciation in regards to how all these laws operate that he's working with. Is that acceptable to you guys? And then that gives him the strength and the understanding to be very selective going across the Seven of Cups in terms of what he will choose and what he will not choose of that which is offered to him in life, particularly in regards to emotional contacts or relationships with ladies. See all how this is building? Okay, so you don't. Well.
Yeah. Yes, it's creating a picture.
Good, that should do. Exactly what it should do, Helen. It's create a picture, a story. I'm giving it to you all bare bones, just because I know you don't know the meanings of the cards, so I'm staying completely with the generic meanings. And then we could say from the Six of Cups, second card Justice, up to the Sun, second card Page of Cups. So having had that deep sense of self-appreciation, self-reward, if you want, through his use and understanding of these higher and operating laws and so forth, he in the future will increase his spiritual health greatly in terms of his ability to start a new relationship or have a new emotional experience, Page of Cups. Seven of Cups, Queen of Cups, up to the same Sun, Page of Cups. Well, having that ability to discern what is important to you, what has significance to you, in terms of all the goodies of life, particularly in regards to ladies. Okay, see, this is what would allow a person to not choose a floozy. Some people would love a floozy because they can't see beyond it. They don't have any past experience. But he does.
Oh, I've got past experience.
You've had the floozy challenge already?
I've had several challenges.
Okay.
I had a blind date with a floozy last night.
Well, there you go. As a blind date, that's okay.
Yeah.
You just appreciate it for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. You don't proposed marriage.
No.
Okay.
I'm glad to see her again.
Well, losers have their value.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that.
Is Stephanie listening?
Well, she knows all this stuff. Are you kidding? She knows everything I've done in my entire life. And I'll tell you all a secret. I was not born in the car coming over here. That's an old New York expression. You may not know what it means, but if you think about it, you'll figure it out. In New York, I believe they say, I was not born in the cab coming over.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, and then from, obviously, like I say, from the Seven of Cups, Queen of Cups, up to the Sun, that reinforces his coming in the future spiritual health in regards to new love relationships or new love experiences. So that takes care of that flow. And then the last one is the first one we talked about, starting over at the Ace of Discs, second card, Four of Cups, which goes next door to the Emperor, second card, Priestess. Now remember that the Ace of Discs can mean really good physical health. That's one of the possibilities. It can also mean in the physical world having all your ducks in a row. It would seem to me, because of the going to the Emperor Priestess, that it has more to do with having all your physical ducks in a row. In other words, working really hard to get things organized in your life. That's an Earth thing, Virgo and trait. In such a way that you're on top of it. Does that make sense, Dan?
Absolutely.
Second card by the Four of Cups. So that in itself is coming through a new emotional appreciation, a new emotional level of experience. Now this is important. You all may think this is silly, but it's not. Because I'll tell you what, if you're ever in a situation where you feel out of control emotionally, clean your house.
Oh, that doesn't sound silly.
That's the same principle.
Uh-huh. My house is its cleanest when things feel like they're going wacko.
Oh, your house is the cleanest?
Yeah, or most organized when it feels like other stuff is out of control.
Oh, okay, so you use that principle.
Yeah.
Right, and does it bring things back into control?
Yeah, it's very helpful.
Exactly.
You mean like actually cleaning the house?
Yeah, either for or just physically. Well, in that case, you want to first physically clean the house and then four element cleaning. Now, I know you keep your house pretty immaculate, don't you, Jennifer?
Yeah, I seem to like to vacuum.
Well, I'm not talking about vacuuming. I'm talking about the arrangement of it, the tidiness of it, the organization of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's very helpful. Have you ever gone to Alan Keller's house?
No, I have not.
I invite any of you to do so. It is perhaps the most cluttered dwelling I have ever walked into. And Alan Keller is a very cluttered being. Not picking on him, I love him.
Is he taking the course? Or?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, he's an old-time cowboy here that everybody's afraid of. That's a friend of ours. It's where we got our mule, Caledonia.
Oh, okay.
He's an old world champ deer wrestler.
Yeah.
Ah.
And movie purveyor. He supplied horse teams and mule teams and all kinds of paraphernalia to the movie industry for many years.
Ah.
But they are scared of him around here.
Oh, yes. So having his ducks in a row and so forth, that's what helped him to get a handle in the, you know, the man's world, the world of business and finance and so forth. And in through his study of magic, in other words, think about this, study of magic helps you get your ducks in a row. So it's that process that allowed him to capitalize on that emperor-priestess combination. Both of those factors are what is going to attract a powerful lady into his life who will further his world-level pursuits. How about that? What a big, fat reward to have coming.
All right.
I mean, she may not be fat. So, do you have a clue as to who this might be, Dan, or you don't have to say if you don't want to?
Yes.
You do? Cool. So, we're not off track here.
Oh, no.
Oh, good. So, then we have that factor we talked about of the emperor priestess going up to influence his in the present, which is very important, making proper actional choices. Or choices of desire would even be a perhaps better way of saying it, in regards to, you know, becoming the powerful match to this Queen of Swords. And then in turn, that goes up, obviously, to further attract her to him and kind of put that what would you call it, magnetic attractor. So, which is nice because, see, otherwise what we tend to do is look for a person, find someone, because we desperately want them, try to force them into the mold, which we don't even know what it looks like, and then go after them with all our might. He doesn't want to do any of that. The forces are set up. He wants to sit back and enjoy watching the forces come about. Is that right, Dan?
Absolutely.
So, questions or comments on this reading? It's a lovely reading.
I will tell you that the potential person showed up in my life about one day before you did this reading.
You're kidding me.
No.
My God, that's kind of awesome, huh?
Imagine my surprise when I saw the reading.
Right, I'm sure. Well, if we were doubters of the tarot, I guess we're not going to be holding on to that one very long.
I'm convinced.
So, Dan, did you, like, ask a question before you did the cards?
No, he didn't do this reading. I did it.
Oh, you did it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
See, independent, we knew nothing about this, he and I.
Oh, okay. I see.
So what was the question to do the reading by?
The question I did was just what's going on with Dan Helms?
Oh, okay.
What else would you ask? This is a generic reading.
Well, it looks more like, is Dan going to get a date?
No. That would not be proper signifiers. If that's what I want to know, I have to use signifiers to say that. That is not what I'm asking. That would be his signifier with the Two of Cups to the right and on top of that. That's what we call a multiple signifier. How are relationships affecting Dan? That's how you ask that.
So this is what's going on with Dan's life.
Right, right. And see, the nice thing is whatever is a major feature is what's going to come up. I don't have to worry about it. And as you saw, even though we had four different flow lines, everything was related. It's all about the same thing. And this reading, I want you all to study it, look at it, understand it, because this has a great deal to show us about what walking in my vision is about. If you look at these flow lines, you will see that this all has come about by Dan's walking in his vision. He did nothing in the world plane to make this happen. Actually.
Dan, did you meet her kind of in a synchronistic way?
Yes. It was a controlled accident.
Did something kind of raise your senses or speak to you in some way?
Yes. On first just being in proximity, I felt an energy.
Okay. See, that's important because when you're holding a vision, and it may not be a vision of a lady for my life, just holding whatever vision you're holding of just powerful things coming into your life or whatever, or everything working out the way, I mean, however you do that. The next thing that is very important is you must clear out all the stuff that distracts us and binds us into the lower realms, such as criticism, nattering, excess talking, opinions, beliefs, all of that is what prevents us from seeing the moment when it comes. We got to be there when it happens, in present time and ready.
This energy was so strong that I was, at the time, I was sitting in a vehicle. And I could feel it from inside the vehicle about 15 feet away.
Cool. But you see, you had to be ready for that. I'll tell you what I mean. You said there was sort of a minor accident or something.
No, a controlled accident. It was somewhere I was supposed to be. And,
yeah, but did you drive your car into hers, or?
Oh, no, 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 nothing like that.
Okay.
It was a chance meeting.
Right, right. But you were supposed to be somewhere else?
No, I was where I was supposed to be.
Okay. But if you had been really distracted and worrying about time or worrying about, you know, whatever, you may never have had that experience.
Actually, I was 20 minutes early for where I was supposed to be.
Okay.
Which never happens.
Okay. So there were other synchronistic things leading up, too.
Yes.
Yeah, just so you all know, that's called the knock of spirit. This is actually an intervening force from higher realms. Any questions on the reading from anyone?
No.
So it's really important that you all start to do 12-card readings because we're going to move from... We're going to do a number of classes on it, of course. But if you can't do a basic 12 card, then you can't do compound signifiers. And then you can't do regressed forward and back in time or blow-ups, all of which are based on the 12 card. And then when we go into spell work, you won't have any way of determining what we call directives and limiters for spells. Because this type reading is exactly how we do it. And like I say, I'll help you all with your readings. That's not a problem. But I want you to always, if you send me a 12 card, you must put the flow lines on there before you send it. They don't have to be in different colors. But number the lines, which I also do. If I've got four green lines, that's number one on every line. So I know that's that line, because when you send it green, black and white,
you
actually can't send them that way, can you? Come to think of it, you can't do that, because you don't send them as a... But what you can do is when you all just lay it out, don't you? In a column, sort of. Right. So what you can do is say, okay, after you lay it out, you can say, okay, flow lines. Number one, king swords to queen swords. You can do that. I can interpret that real easy. So just use it. One flow line, two flow line, three flow line, four flow line. Just list them. That's fine. Questions or comments?
How much emphasis, if any, should you put on the cards that are not connected with the flow lines?
They tell you something. It is rare to get a set of cards that are not connected at all, but it does happen. But
I mean, like on my reading, cards that are not on the flow line.
There are none on yours that are not on the flow line. On this reading we just went over?
Yeah.
Everything flows. There's nothing not flowing. What did you think wasn't flowing?
Well, I forgot about the Ace of Wands and the Ace of Cups thing.
Oh, that's the Lover's reverse to Eight of Wands reverse.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's the flow line.
Okay. If, for instance, everything else flowed except for two cards.
A pair of cards?
Yeah. Would you disregard those?
No. Are you kidding? Absolutely not. You look at what line is it in. If it's in the past line, it means something has stopped. You've changed something.
Oh, okay.
If it's in the present line and you've got you say no flow to it from the past, that means something has come up in the present and you dealt with it. And if it's in the future line and there's no apparent flow, in this reading anyway, what that can mean is, well, let me explain something to you all. When we're dealing and talking about cause and effect chains, these things repeat in our lives over and over and over. These are the patterns that psychology studies. These are the patterns that 12-step studies of our lives. And so even though you think when you look at this reading that this is just something that is happening in the past, present, and future, a lot of times that thing is going to repeat over and over and over again throughout your days until you change it. So a lot of times when you have something beginning in the present, there's no apparent flow to it, it's sort of either a warning, or it's, if it's a reverse card, it's a warning. And if it's an upright, it's an indicator of something I'm going to begin. It doesn't mean I've not done it again before in the past. But it's going to set up a pattern that goes on into the future. And that's why we learn how to progress these readings into the future. You will learn how to do that. Walk them right into the future. You can actually, if you've got the patience and the time, you can walk readings back to your creation as a spirit trillions, quadrillion years ago. It's going to take a lot of readings. And you can tell when you regress a reading, you can tell when you move back into your childhood. You can tell when you move back into conception. You can tell when you, bam, hit or back to conception, and then you hit the area between life, and then you'll see your last death, and you'll move right on back into that lifetime. You can see it all. So, okay, guys, don't be daunted by this. This is an amazing tool, and we're going to have a lot of work with it when we go into progress Tarot and so forth. Advanced Tarot, whatever you call it. Tarot intensive. But get comfortable with it as quick as you can, and call on me for help and enjoy it. Because your learning stuff, I'll tell you what, is not well known. By the time you all finish this course and the Tarot Intensive, if you do just the work that is indicated, your ability to use the Tarot will match anybody on TV. In fact, it'll be better. Except you won't be doing it from a psychic base. Therefore, your accuracy will be 100%. Their accuracy is around 20%. You probably don't know that. They never show you what didn't go well. So, I'm done.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, indeed. Oh, and one thing I forgot to mention, if any of you all want to come to tomorrow night's class for additional work, I'll be doing Sharon Brown's reading. So that's optional. I'm not telling you to. I'm just saying if you're dying to hear more or see more.
And what time is that?
It's 8 o'clock Mountain Time.
Okay.
Yeah, 8 to 10. That's for the East Coast late night owls. I think. Yeah, sure.
They've been ahead.
Mm-hmm.
He's in Florida. And Maryland's up there in eastern Canada. Okay, you guys. Tom, of course, is in Mississippi. Yeah. Okay, thank you all.
Okay.
Thank you, Alan.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.